Okay, so that's Tom Neary, Reel 9. We finished the last tape, Tom, talking about St Ergenbosch and the end of St Ergenbosch, really.
That's correct. But I must say, well, as to be remembered, pay tribute to the hospital in St Ergenbosch that were run by religious orders. How far as I've got to place from there, not only I, but other regiments. And there was two hospitals there, one by the sisters and one by, I understand, by the priest. And they helped the regimental medical officers so much before an operation that would save quite a few lives. But there's no one that should be noted that was happening. Anyhow, we pulled out of St Ergenbosch on the 27th, 28th, the only 28th event, I think. And it was quite just a stay in this place for a day to recuperate. And then we moved, and I believe that we moved to Weir, but I got mixed up in the first place, where I said a Trappist monastery was. Mm. And while we was there, and I said about going into the monastery, we knew we were going to attack again. I think I'm right. But anyhow, we went on. I cannot remember the name of the canal, and I'm getting confused, but we moved the earth that was infiltration coming down from the moss and coming down the flanks. So the Duke presented this place and to stop it. So A Company, of course, along the length of this canal, it was walked along before it was put down. The Dutch engineers said the reason it was getting through was there was culverts underneath the canal somewhere, and that is where they thought they were getting through. They went to look, but they couldn't find any evidence of it. Anyhow, when we was there the first night, you lay a line to A Company on the canal. So that is what we set off to do, about four of us. We drove the Thompson there. So when we got to the end of the first reel, we went along this dusty on this track. It was just a ruined barn and a house down, just a wall standing. Turn left down this track going to the canal. On his right was an edge. So, and as we get down, nearly approach this here, like a 5-yard gate, and he came to the end of the cable. So, Tomo said, you repair it, Tommy, you're quicker than us. So, I got the honour of joining the cable. Off they went into the dark. The night was cold, damp, with the clouds splitting on there and the moon coming out in between the clouds just to light it temporarily. So I'm joining this cable and of course there's this edge row and the gate and a low ditch with rod bushes, little bushes. And I'm knocked down, I repaired the line, not there, joined it, insulated it with the rubber and covered it with the insulation, roll it, put it down, just when you get up, I don't need a rifle with me. Actually can patch it up, and I see these ends coming on. 1, 2, 3, 4, like a dozen. Bobbing. They seem to be bobbing with enough light. They got to the gate, and I just motioned to them. I'm just going to motion and stop, looking under the rim of the Albert. I'd only the rifle, and nothing else, pouch or whatever. I couldn't see in the light whether they were British or whether they were German. Now, I would have expected to have been told that if there was patrols going out from us, we would have been notified, and they would have been notified, and only shooting up. So they stopped at the gate, in motion, very quiet, and that's not like the British anyhow, they're generally a bit noisy. Shut the gate, or something like that, and they went past me, and they never seen me, and as a matter, I wouldn't mind doing it, 5 yards.
5 yards away?
Yeah.
And what was the light moonlight, did you say, Tom?
It was a cloudy night, clouds, broken clouds, low, damp, real November night, but the moon, wasn't the moon, it would be quarter, it was flitting in between the clouds, so it was momentary light, took part of it, then it would go dark, it would cast shadows. But for some reason, if I knew who they were, like I say, the grenades, but I couldn't, if I knew who were British, I would have said something. But I couldn't say they were. And of course, if they weren't, I would number. If the British, and so whichever way he couldn't move, you know.
Yeah.
So I just said, I said nothing, and they just didn't see me.
Yeah, and you just kept as still as possible, presumably.
Yes, well, that's your training.
Like a rabbit in headlights, sort of.
Yeah, I just kept some on the eyes like that. Just to get up after joining the line. They never seen me. And I'm right, with my head down looking underneath the rim of the helmet.
Yeah.
Because the light goes straight up, of course.
Yeah.
Never seen me. Never word. So when I got back, I reported, he said, oh no, the moon of our patrol was out. But I couldn't get that. Another grenade, you come past, you could get it. And yeah, so I went down, carried on down to the canal. I met them minutes and came back. Of course, the lines got blown, so the morning after, repair the lines again. So I went along, taking the line right along until we got where this ruined building was. It had been out, the walls just had been stood up, but there must have been a window, so the walls had collapsed. So we turned then to go down this track, and in front of us, about 30 yards away, was a grain carrier taking food down for the company.
Yeah.
And it blew up. Over it went onto its head. They must have gone down, gone to these telelines and killed them. And then we went along the line, checking the line, and there with me, and just on the right hand side, about a foot away, that's easy, I think. They get out to the ground about bushes.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, look, there's a minefield over there.
You'd walk through it?
Yeah, well, I looked at it, it was left of the building. Obviously, the tank had blown up the power mine.
Yeah.
These were foot mines, but they were broken and burst, you know.
Yeah.
And they were there, they stood on them. And the line had been laid there, 6 inches away was the road mines, and they were collected.
So again, that's very lucky, isn't it, to do food for you to miss that, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So then we repaired the line. Night time again, out come the Jerry's with the Panzer House, setting the farmhouse on fire. That's the anti-tank weapon,
yeah.
Knocking the tanks out. But eventually we stopped them, but we never found where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
So they pulled us out of there. And that was the time when the colonel of the battalion was changed. Lieutenant Colonel Burton, who was our battalion commander from 1943, he was 47 years of age in 1944. This was the end of the 44. And he'd been told by them that he shouldn't have been there for his age, but on account of it being such a fine battalion, this is the tale, that his writer should come over with us.
Mm.
So he brought them over and he led us, and he was actually a fine thing, a gentleman, officer.
Mm.
So he'd done his stint, and he must have decided that he had to go back to England. He became brigadier. So him and the second command, Hussey de Berg, also departed. And who came in his place was Lieutenant Colonel Freddie Allen.
Mm.
Who originally was an officer in Buckinghamshire, territorial officer, a brilliant officer he was, and he took over. Major Griffin, C.W. Griffin, he was A Company commander, took over second in command. So from there, the orders came, we had to move again to tackle the Rodden Canal.
That was another canal that we're thinking of.
But we wasn't the initial company to cross the canal. I think it was a wrong legend. But anyhow, we moved up in the dark, they made the crossing the canal, a little shell fire in the rest of it. We took over off them and to clear to follow on and clear. So we cleared the way along, no resistance really, until we came into the village of Newman. Newman, whatever you call it.
Mm.
So we get into Newman. To get to establish headquarters in this school, but then they said, right, we want to send a patrol down into Nier. And Nier was roughly half a mile away on our left flank to see if the Jerry was there. And they were pushing them over the marsh.
Yeah.
So this was Wexford Marsh.
Yeah.
Well, about a mile from Wexford Marsh. So, you take the right, you dump it, you take the water set and go down with this patrol from the company. I don't know what the what country it was now, I can't remember. Anyway, we patrol down into here. So we went across the open space in between till we came into here, and I remember it slowed down. No troops in here, so these ranks had occupied here. On his way back, the last man in the sex patrol got shot. Shot him in the back. So we went to search up, we couldn't find him. So there was either some jerry's in the roundabout or something. Anyhow, we went back, we kept his eye on the air, but on the day following, the 4th Battalion Black Watch came in and occupied it. So our headquarters then was in the school. Now, I came there with the rail lines and what have you. So during this time, Tom Jackson comes, he said, run to the office, and it's a good day, so I'll do it. Well, we had the exchange at BBX. Lines went all through to the companies and the rest of it, and of course they were connected to the end section of the Black Watch regiment, who was in near on the flank, the left flank. So I was on civil office. The young lad there called Wally was still in the Ardennes. He was only 18, and he was on the signal on the exchange. And he got a flap on, that's it, you know, he wasn't trained. So I said to him, you come on the signal clerk and I will do the exchange. Give him a chance, didn't I? You know, I'm there for an old soldier, the signaler. And that's right, fine. But Tom Jackson came and he said, what are you doing there, anyway, Tommy? So I said, he's not used to it, you know, give him time. No, no, he can't do that, he said, he has to learn. You do that to your clerk, which you charge, and I watch you on the exchange. Fair enough, so I get back on the exchange. In between, Sam Jackson doing this, and there's reports are coming in. This report come in, Shell Rep from B Company. So I picked the phone, did it, yeah? To take the message down. But when you do Shell Rep, the idea is you take the report, the direction where it fires from, the time, and this is forwarded with all the particulars to the RA for counter-fire.
So a shell rep is a shell report?
That's it.
And it's a report of some shell or some firing?
Yeah, the direction it's fired from and the rest of it in the counter-fire.
Yeah.
Pretty static, you see.
Yeah.
So I sent it out there, did you? I just had to go by rummer. And about... Well, I didn't think I'm going to do about 14 hours after. My friend came into the office and put the same hood on.
Yeah, your signals officer, Hawkins, Captain Hawkins.
So, you know, he's on duty, but we pay respect to officers in the afternoon when we do, if you respect them. This seems to be just officer, I don't know what. This shell rep, who sent it? I just said, oh, what company was it? I said, B Company. Are you sure it's B Company? I said, yes, sir. I asked them to make sure. B Baker, you could have given it. B Company. It's never come from Bloody B Company. I said, well, it's straight out. And after Sam Jackson looked at me, what had happened? He put the message to me, because you're taking it from the lad, he put it to me, and he also said it was big on me, but I asked him as well, because it was finished, he showed not to make sure B and D sounds alike.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal. So, I asked him, and I can be rep. He said he's never come from the B Company, and I told him he'd have come from B Company, the Black Watch, who was on the outskirts of Near.
Yeah.
Of course, he gave my ear. A bashing, he said, he called himself a bloody signaller, and I didn't respond at first. I thought, well, here I am again. He said, even that's not bloody spelled right. And I nice number, it was a good spelling lesson. So he said, for that, you'll be back to duty tomorrow. That was just a company. Mm. He said, sir, I was holding a rifle on the beach of Dunkirk. Get out, he said. Get out. So the colonel really gets out.
Mm.
And apparently, got the kit out again this day, waiting for his transfer, which I've been looked at him, so and they've got the clubs on that.
Because just to remind the tape, this is the chap that put you on a court martial, or threatened to court martial, yeah? Earlier.
The signal officer replaced him after he was killed.
Hawkins. Yeah.
So I get back in there, well, I'm there 2 days, and I didn't bother with my meal, I didn't get it in there. I waited, nobody's didn't bother with nothing. So day three. And they came over, they did the rare occasion, and they bombed us. All the lines were split, and some of the Manchesters were killed. So they come into the room, the school room, and they said to me, we couldn't help repair these lines, Tom. Tom Jackson, so how did I repair these lines? There's a hell of a mess. Outside, they're doing training and repairing, and who passes me? Just looking and say, well. So I did that. So at night time, Sam Jackson came and said, we need to. Just take something off the shore of the really dump. And they said, yeah. I said, what about over him, he said. So
what about Hawkins?
Yeah. So I went into a bit over. And he was running away. See my clerk, he came in and there I am, I still up, you know. And he never said a word to me. He just went into it. Now during that period lines get going, we have to go and repair the lines. So Bernard Brodney, who was a great friend of mine also, who died through the Ardennes and after the TB. So he said, go help me this line. So well, they done. So we went out and repaired the sea line. It was cold and damp. So we told them, don't ring it till we ring you at the exchange. But the Sunday boy wouldn't wait, and he repaired the line across my tail with a shock.
Yeah.
The cycle, 15 cycle. So he talked to me, he said, Tom, he said, I've been came out talking to him up to us, and he said, with you lot, some of you bloody men, I could do seeing you brought in on stretchers.
That was a nice thing to say, wasn't it?
That's the signal officer.
Hmm.
He said, what sort of a bloody man is he? Nobody, no, it was just me. So anyhow, we get by. Now, great dear friend of mine, John Bennett from Shawley, who was ANZAC, who we were, he was a little friend. He said, we'll go out and we'll check this line again at night time. So while we're out, overcome the morning minutes. From over there, we could see the rockets going up on the side of the bank, you know, these D2s.
Alright.
So, overcome at 8 o'clock on the turn. Jenny always seems to fight a certain time, if you check to it. But overcome, they're dropping all around us. So, down we went, nothing more, and on the turn line, when it was, we looked up and we're letting everybody north to bump ammunition.
But yeah, yeah. Doesn't sound seem to be the safest place to be, to me.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So I said, he said, don't go in drop. This is the ammunition. I said, if it was it, after 7 o'clock, St. Peter, that was the case. So I left that, and the day after he came to me, he said, Tom, in. I said, what? Come in. He said, you know how it's coming from Norman? I said, yeah. He said, you know we're short of NCO, would you like me to be in? I said, yeah. He said, but your name is confidential.
Now, there's a difference there, isn't there, between the way you're conceived to be, from the way this Hawkins conceived you to be as a soldier, and the way that you're generally thought to be as a soldier.
That's right. He said to me, I said, yeah. He said, what's it do with you and Hawkins? I said, why? He said, well, we said about it. Don't mention that bloody man's name to me, he said. That's after laughing, you know. He said, what's to do with this? What? He said, oh, no, bloody wonder. worked on this patrol with the intelligence, but it's not with the intelligence officer. A real step would be ideal. I'm being honest, even his men in his section said he wasn't a very nice man.
This just to go over again where we are. Rubble Canal, are we at this stage?
We're at Nunnum now.
Oh, at Nunnum.
I'm about half a mile from the banks of the Moss.
Got it. Okay.
And yeah. Near was the next.
Yeah.
Group, and then the Black Watch landed over.
Yeah.
So the Cherries kept coming over the Moss in the boats, which was actually whatever they were. So what we were doing were I drew out the intelligence officer and went to the little compass tree and went in the streets about. And the race stacks. We stopped again the race stack and he'd be watching me off and I was my wireless set. And we're all there and everybody's talking all there, man. But he's not just died, got to go to him. He needs to be because, you know.
Was he a northern person or a southern person?
Well, he came up from Cheshire.
Cheshire?
You know, like a bloody cat, I think he was. But no, it. If any meetings other fellas, if you speak to, I spoke to you about to Vic Cubbon, he would tell you. Because the original intelligence officer became magistrate.
Yes.
He got killed in the Ardennes.
Right.
Which was called Bible, which was a gentleman.
Yeah.
And this fella, him and Hawkins were up there.
Right.
Anyhow, I never did him for part, like I didn't proper name. So, but, you know, they can come back to see. So I went out with him this day, and I'm there with my wireless set, and he's there with his doings. I don't even know, he said, come on, and go on, what did he do? But I think so, it's sent to you. So that was it. Now, what happened was, a quarter mile further, there's a farmhouse. And it had a real comical name, I couldn't pretend to say what it was. And it went up in flames. The Jerry's had come across and was a set fire because they thought we were in it for an operation, which we did. So, this Mike, again, Mary, patrol, this is my friend doing this, all this for me.
No, Hawkins.
I think so. So, out I went, with a wireless, doing the wireless, so this guy, you know. Did I know what I said? Anyhow, I went out the patrol to see a section from one of the companies. And it, oh no, it was daytime first, that's right. So we went to this one behind the trees. And there, the officer, we went together with the patrol. This officer at daytime took the compass bearing on this farm from this line of trees. And then, night time, we had to come back and march from this. So, in the dark, we'd get right to the house, you know.
Yeah.
So off we go, there's me and the Dodgy Green, who got killed in the yard down, so it's here, and someone else, I don't know if it was, no, I can't remember. And of course, the patrol, the lads from the companies. Really foggy work, you couldn't see a hand in front of you. So he had to take, took the compass there, and off we go, with this assault cable, then cable, this right thing cable, once it's down, you leave it, don't bother picking it. Where are we going? One in the bloody cable, next joint, next in the cable. So we stopped. So Benjamin said to him, I'd be better ring back to RSU so and find out where we are. And it will be about 4 in the morning. Well, I've been back 4 hours.
Yeah.
And wet from different marshes, walked the logs, and missed, you couldn't see the yard in front of it. No, it wouldn't. So the dogs are still trying to say that, I'm very shocked, so I won't bother. He says it again. So, all right, he said. He gets through to them, and they go in mandatory, so why are we out so long? So I could tell the voice at the other end that it was a second command, Major Griffin, because I've been his teamwork all the months previously from Normandy. And it was then, can you have your own marks, have your own marks about you? So he said, yeah. There's three A stacks here, and they all end around the A stacks.
Yeah.
He told us exactly where we were. Go so far to your left, only about 30 yards, and right on the left arm. What an amazing
time. Really? But he knew the officer at the end, at the other end of the phone, Griffin?
Griffin.
knew from that description exactly where you were.
As we said it, we laid the line, and the men stopped in the cellars or in the house outside on the farmer's observation port. You see, we left the telephone and they connected up. And as they were coming away, they were waking morning to see Mr. Bloody Wood River, you know. So we got back. It's one of the days, and so we went back. But the movement's here. So we got back. So the line went again. Go and repair the line here, you know. So go to Greens with me. But at the same time, we had to go out with this patrol, and this patrol was leaving the one that was already there.
How many men in a patrol normally, Tom?
Well, it all depends if it's a fighting patrol or whether it's just a patrol for scouting patrol.
In this
scouting patrol, it could be as little as 3 men, it could be up to 7 men.
Yeah.
Section.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about a fighting patrol, well, then you've got to be a dozen up to 20, don't you?
Yeah. So these were something like maybe 6-7 people.
That's
here.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how the fellow got shot when I went into here.
Yeah.
And how it was when I went to replace in the barn. So there was a signal, you see, and the tall lads from the company who replaced the men who'd been there at night time to get my way and give them the break.
Yeah.
So from there, they watched me watch them go on the road and report back to us and get shot all these things. Anyway, so who was out on this patrol? He comes up to the outskirts of it. He could see to me when he was probably of the building. Well, there's wire, there's still running, there's still pulse and wire barbed wire on it.
Yeah.
So we're getting over the wire. Got to go rest in, he steps over and he catches the butt of his bloody stem on the barbed wire. And of course it fired a very faulty stem, if you want to be fired.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have crashed a little bit. All let loose. Very lights were going up. Then mortars were coming down. Bombs and everything. So we just, in the farm, we kept quiet. Anyhow, we came out that way, we connected everything all right.
So they didn't find you with their firing?
No.
They couldn't place where you were?
I decided. They can normally tell a stem from a smizer.
But it's a sound, it could come from anywhere.
That's right. So, the very lights are fine, only up and down.
Yeah.
Well, they always tell you, if you were there, you don't move.
Yeah.
You know, it's written, you might be wrong. Obviously, if you didn't move, you know. Let's be honest, obviously. So, we came back. So, the night or so after, patrol. That's true, it is. Yeah, that's good. So we went out on this patrol, and this time it was again to contact the farm and repair the line, I think, you know. So I went out with them, on his way back, shots fired out, and Jerry got right in the middle of the patrol.
Really? Of your patrol? How far were the patrol, the 7 people in the patrol, spread out?
Oh, you'd be one behind the other in single file, just to keep contact in the dark.
Yeah.
So you'd have them from about 5 centimetres from front to rear.
From front to rear?
Yeah.
But this German got in the middle of that.
Where he come from? Middle, and of course nobody noticed him, you see, in the dark.
But surely, I mean, he must have known that if he was getting in the middle of 7 people to kill one member of that patrol, what's going to happen to him?
But that is the truth.
Yeah.
So he was so bloody dope, he must have thought it was his own patrol.
Yeah.
Well, very obviously, he went on his own with his man.
Yeah.
He must have been with the patrol.
Yeah.
And he lost his patrol.
Yeah.
And we must have missed him in the night and the part foggy. And he said, doesn't he got in with us and thought it was his own? That's all I can think.
Got then, and he was so close in the end,
yes.
When he realised maybe.
That's right.
Too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Well, they've gone Tuesday,
haven't they? Yeah. A bit frightening, though. A bit scary, that.
So, that was... Oh, so, I told my brother, Horvers, when I was in Eindhoven in 1944, there was a special loop was up in the town hall main court and everything, so there's some kid around, this leg was stood up and I sat down in the bar tree, so I said to her, you know, what are you up to?
Hmm.
You sit here. Oh no, I said, yeah, dude. So I'm talking, and I'm talking to one of my legs, and I talked about the Mars and about New Year. And this man said to me, where's you in here? Did you say here? I said, yeah. Where's you in here? I said, yes, so it's called Hobbes. Oh, you must come over and bring a party to in the van on the anniversary of the special day. You come to my house and stay.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw it's a storm in my shoes after I had a look at that. That's the old St. Benedict College in the Grace. So,